always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I am Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined on this fine Monday night, we are eschewing the usual Tuesday afternoon or evening festivities because tomorrow is the NBA draft. And seeing as Harrison is solely responsible for every piece of content that goes up regarding anything basketball for SB Nation, it makes it really difficult for him to, you know, podcast for any amount of time for tomorrow. So the plan for this one is that he and I would preview, set the table for tomorrow's draft, take a look at the Lakers offseason so far. In an underratedly with one, I think somehow, some way undercovered factor at play, that being the fact that this would be the year that if things don't go well, NBA superstars would start, you know, telling their team to move whatever chess pieces need to be moved in preparation for their eventual departure from a team that they might be frustrated with. So that's going to be the plan for this one. To make up for Harrison not being there for tomorrow's draft day, the plan is actually to have Raj on the show for tomorrow's draft as soon as he gets home from his 9 to 5. So you guys are going to be well taken care of. And we have plenty of good stuff lined up for you guys, not just the next couple of days, but obviously as the offseason unfolds. Harrison, 'twas the night before the draft, and all throughout the house, not a creature was stirring, not even your computer mouse. Do you use a track? But do you use a trackboard or do you just
I use an ergonomic mouse. That probably doesn't surprise you.
That was a perfect entry into the show. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. I mean, I'm a little insulted that you said that Raj could make up for me. You're like, oh, you know, we'll make up for Harrison. There's no making up for me not being there. Come on. Yeah, like Raj cannot replace the level of insight that I bring to this program, especially around things like the draft that I'm like so well informed on. And
you're like you right now, you sound like Jaylen Brown, who is like, Giannis is a downgrade for me. What are you talking about?
You know what's funny is I haven't seen him say that, but I actually believe that
100%
like
believes it.
No, I believe like you telling me that I was about to go to social media and be like, has a new clip from his stream come out?
Yeah. No, what I really wanted was for some like Austin Reeves, Jaylen Brown trade rumors to start popping up, you know, like Austin to Boston in a sign and trade, and Jaylen being like offended that Boston would trade him for Austin Reeves. And this like the subtext of all of his stuff as Boston trades for a 1-2-4. It would just be incredible. But instead it's, you know, Giannis, which
the discourse that trade would create might just take down the internet finally. Like that might be it. It might be enough. Like that's the way that we defeat AI and the data centers and all of this stuff is we do an Austin Reeves for Jaylen Brown sign and trade. All the servers are going to burn down. We're starting from square one, Stone Ages, you know, back to sort of tactile manual electronics, no more computers. That's the Butlerian jihad right there. It's over.
Would we be better off? Feel like we would.
I mean, you and at I least? Personally, probably not, but I society, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. So today on the show, we're going to be, you know, like I said, setting the table for this NBA draft. We're going to talk about the 2026 plan or Project 2026 from the Lakers standpoint. We're going to revisit it. And
I love that you're mad at them, and so now you're using the title for the project before that they like yelled at you for, and you were like, okay, yeah, you're right, that's like offensive, I shouldn't call it that. But you're mad enough at how they've approached the offseason so far that you've went back to Project 2026.
Look, man, you respect is earned, not given. today we're also going to talk about our expectations of the Lakers for this upcoming draft. They hold pick number 25. Do we think that they are going to use it? Do we think that they are going to trade it? And again, the backdrop for all of this is the fact that Luka could opt out in as few as a couple of seasons from now. And like I said, this is when most superstars start planting seeds for eventual departures. And they usually do that, Harrison, for teams that they care. There are a lot more emotional connections to that team than Luka has with this Lakers franchise. Right. So, I think that is something that is always very important to keep in mind here. It was also a really interesting weekend from my standpoint, from a reporting, like, you know, as far as stuff that I reported, had, you know, I still 100% stand behind my reporting that the Lakers spoke to Detroit about Isaiah Stewart and that they spoke to Milwaukee about a potential either addition to a Giannis trade or the fallout from a Giannis trade. I've seen some people using Mark Stein's reporting as a reason to throw dirt on what I reported. And I want to talk about some of that stuff if we have a little bit of time.
You're going to make me pick between like one of my mentors and you. I'm gonna have to defend your honor against Stein.
Well, that's part of the point, is that it won't be a choice that anybody has to make here. So we will, if we have time, we'll get to that, and then if we have time, we will get to as many of your questions as we possibly can over the course of the show. But yeah, quick reminder, please hit that like button, please hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications for the show. Turn on notifications for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. And if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get them, preferably on Odyssey, but I truly do not care where it is that you get them. And as always, this show is brought to you in video form in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and make a $5 lineup of your own and get $50 worth of free lineups on Prize Picks. All right. So let's go ahead and I want to start, Harrison. I want to kind of like lay the groundwork for this entire conversation with the expectations that were set for us by the Lakers by way of this whole summer of 2026 plan, right? And the player at the center of those plans back when we were hearing about them was Giannis. Right. And also to a certain extent, Jokic, but mostly Giannis. And to give credit to the Lakers, like, you know, all due credit to them. They did foresee that by this summer, he would be made openly available and even likely moved this summer. That was something that the Lakers foresaw. What I think they took for granted was that Giannis would see joining the Lakers as this, you know, incredible opportunity, and took for granted that, you know, Giannis had his own preferences in terms of geography and conference and whatever else factors into his choice to lean more towards playing on the East Coast versus coming and playing on the West Coast. And as it now appears to be, the Lakers, who at the very, very least, Harrison, you know, built at least some of their plans around the notion that they could potentially land Giannis, have not factored into the situation even a little bit. And so, like, as you've seen this all play out, and as you've seen how little noise has ever popped up about the Lakers' chances at Giannis, how have you you know, kind of responded to that. Did you ever think that this was a possibility?
Yeah. I mean, if we're going all the way back to the beginning, I do think that it is, you know, I think we all thought it was like a possibility. You know, it's like if you look at the, if you're 2 years out and you look at the math and you look at who's a free agent and you see, okay, you know, things like aren't they going that well in Milwaukee? Like, you know, Giannis has sort of been flirting with an exit for a while now. You know, of course, it was always sort of, I think, reasonable to consider that it would be a possibility and, you know, maybe not like a realistic goal because it's never realistic to like have one team trade for, you know, one of these like top five guys. It's always going to be sort of like, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams that end up getting involved in that or that are linked to it. Like you're going to have competition for a guy of Giannis's stature and he's going to exert some level of control over where he goes. But like, I think it was reasonable for the Lakers to think that they had a shot at him at that point. You know, I guess depending on their intel, like if their intel at the time 2 years ago was like they called Giannis's agent and they would, of course, you know, never tamper or anything like that. But like they just, no, his agent kept unprompted bringing up how much Giannis hates Los Angeles. You know, if that was the intel that they had, then I'd say, okay, yeah, that's a bad plan to bank on, you know, he's just going to change his mind and he wants to be in LA. But if they didn't really know that at the time necessarily, or they didn't necessarily believe that, they thought that maybe there was a chance that he would see the opportunity to come here. Maybe they thought that once they traded for Luka, you know, that that was going to be an appealing running mate for Giannis. You know, I think that it was reasonable to like take a swing at that. But instead, what we've gotten is it's sort of like you said, they've never substantively been linked to him really at all. Like they've never been in this in any real way. It doesn't seem like it would, this would be very funny audio if they trade for him tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, we're like, yeah, they've never been in it. And then he's a Laker. Yeah. But
you and I both like the phone note, like the Twitter notification, according to Sean's Karania.
Yeah. No, I believe he was hacked again, you know? Just like the Luka trade, we could, every trade the Lakers make from now on, it's going to be so out of left field that we're all going to think Shams was hacked. It's like a annual tradition.
Yeah.
And, so I think, you know, I just, for me, what it really boils down to is putting all your eggs in one basket and being like, hey, you know, we sort of learned this lesson. Most teams learned this lesson like back in like 2010. And that was a much better sort of free agent class, star class, whatever. When it's like, hey, you know, what if one third of the league tried to keep cap space open for LeBron, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh? And it turns out those guys all signed with the same team. And so it's like the Bulls are like, hey, Carlos Boozer, you want to max? The Knicks are maxing Amari Stoudemire. And, you know, it's just like, those are good players, but those are not who you sold your fans on punting several years for. And that is sort of, to me, that was the tactical mistake with the Lakers here was, you know, if you're sort of doing the like, hey, you know, and especially much less the fans, if you're selling this to Luka as, hey, man, just wait 2 years, like we're going to get you a running mate. Like, you know, there's going to be here are all the guys that are going to be available that summer. And then you don't do it. You know, it's like that ESPN quote from, you know, I guess I can't legally say his agent, but whatever source close to him that was, that said, you know, we've been excited because Rob's been talking about the summer of 2026 and now it's here. And so we're excited to see all the moves the team makes. That is, to me, the first step of laying the groundwork of like, hey, we're happy right now, but if this plan that you've been selling us on, that, like, hey, this is the big summer, we make some big moves, we're connected, you know, if that turns into, you know, I think we got Luke Kennard back at a reasonable number and, you know, Austin's got his max, so he's locked in. You know, I think that becomes a tougher sell at that point to Luka. And like, oh, LeBron's gone, but we did get Tobias Harris. So, you know, I think we got our big three now.
Yeah, though it does. All right. So here's where I think aspects of the summer so far kind of mesh together in a way that I think is worth noting, in that, like, heading into this summer, Rob Pelinka, JJ Redick, and well, I guess more specifically, Rob Pelinka told us, we're adding two assistant GMs. We are building out this front office. We're looking to do all, you know, we're building out the infrastructure of this organization. We are modernizing the
Pelicans front office in Los Angeles under Rob Pelinka.
Yeah. We're like, we're Dodger-fying the Lakers, right? And Lakers fans who are also Dodgers fans, myself included, we're like, yes, that sounds great. Let's do that. And then over the course of that process, right, it's been like not great. You know, they don't, that we are less than 24 hours from the NBA draft, and they don't have their draft-centric assistant GM. I know people keep on bringing up Tony Bennett as this like incredible hire and an incredible addition to the Lakers front office, but right after he was hired, Rob Pelinka made sure to link with the quickness that was like, no, just so you guys know, like he's a consultant, right? Like he's going to pop in, answer some emails, and then pop back out when we're interested in talking to him about like tougher wings and stuff. And part of the reason that the Lakers have struggled in filling out their front office and hiring for this position kind of most specifically has been the fact that they have gone back to the practice of just working for the Lakers is payments enough, right? Like the fact that you get to put the Lakers on your resume, that makes it worth it more than anything. Those increased rent payments that you guys have, you can sleep soundly knowing that after you work for us, that some other team will pay you enough money to live in LA.
I like that you said rent, because on the assistant GM salaries, they're evidently offering, if they haven't found anyone to take it yet, I think the person will be renting and not buying.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, like somebody was like, well, how come you haven't applied? And I was like, I don't know that I would move to LA for the number that they are offering some of these
people. Okay, come on. Yes, you would.
But like, the reason that I bring that up, Harrison, is because it's the same thinking that led them to believe that Giannis was on the table, right? Of course, Giannis wants to be a superstar in LA playing for the Lakers. Of course that we have Luka now. Of course he would want to play with Luka on the Lakers.
And the second prong of that, which is the, you know, the Rob Pelinka, you know, genie bus Lakers exceptionalism. Like if you don't want to play for the Lakers and us, we don't want you anyway. And you're a loser.
Exactly. Yeah. It's what we've, how long, Harrison, have you and I have recorded this specific segment where it's like, there's a very distinct and critical difference between Lakers exceptionalism in a positive sense and a negative sense. In the positive sense, Lakers exceptionalism means that every single person in that organization is held to an exceptional standard. And that is what leads the Lakers brand under Dr. Buss being a solid gold brick.
Yeah.
Fast forward to where things have been under the Buss kids, and it's been this gold-plated piece of lead. Right. And it's what has happened and what has taken place over the years is you have a whole bunch of people thinking that they are exceptional simply because they represent the Los Angeles Lakers. And in reality,
and then they're like, why wouldn't other people want to be as exceptional as me by representing the Los Angeles Lakers? Isn't that enough?
This is where LeBron showing up actually, I think, like allowed Genie and that whole camp to like double down on this belief, when in reality LeBron and his camp saw the Lakers as a weak organization that they could step into a power vacuum with. Like that's what was going on there. He wanted to, you know, he had his projects ended up being there.
Very correct.
Yeah, well for a little while. But like he saw the projects that he had off of the court. And he saw this weak organization that he felt he and his team could step into that power vacuum and help run. And for a while, things were going really, really well there. And then eventually the Russell Westbrook trade happened and everything kind of eroded from there. But like this is, you know, this whole like Giannis thing, basing any aspect of their future plans or keeping powder dry for the sake of trading for Giannis, you know, with the sentiment being, well, of course he'll want to be a Laker. Like who wouldn't want to be a Laker? That in and of itself, that's got to go. Like, you know, it, they have to stop thinking that way. And it's not just a superstar thing. It's a candidate thing with some of the people that they're looking to hire. It's an entire mentality that, like, I cannot wait for the day that Mark Walter fires all of these people to just completely carve out that rot. Like, I literally, it's funny, we're recording this. I have this cut on my finger that happened because this dude was swimming laps in our community pool and he ran over my son. And I had to, like, race over there and like swoop my son up from the bottom of the pool. And I, like, cut the bottom of my hand on a community pool. You can only imagine the shit that got into my finger that day. So, like, eventually,
good news is you're going to be immune to like 25 different viruses for the next 2 years because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. If I ever had cancer, it's actually cured now. How about that?
Yeah.
But so, like, I had wrapped it in a Band-Aid and I had put some Neosporin on it, but it eventually got infected. And what you need to do with a cut like that that gets infected is you actually need to, like, Jen and I were talking about this. She was like, you're going to have to rip that thing off of there. You're going to have to, like, get rid of that shit that's got to leave your finger so that when you put the Neosporin on it again, it can actually seep into the cut beyond that finger. And that's where I see Rob Pelinka. That's how I see Jeannie Buss. That's how I see the Rambi. That's how I see all of these people is, you know, this entire, like, this infected presence that like, I just think the Lakers need to move on from. And like this whole Giannis thing, and it's been funny how it's played out. When it was like originally it was called the Giannis plan, right? It was reported and called the Giannis plan, and then it eventually became, well, you know, we're just looking to, like, benefit from the Giannis trade. Maybe the Knicks will trade for Giannis and OG Anunoby will become available, or maybe it'll be like Jaden McDaniels and he'll become available.
Man, think about that. We'll have the that's a good timeline where the Lakers end up with OG in the aftermath of, like, a disappointing Knicks finals run and get, like, sort of the perfect guy alongside Luka.
Right. It's like, you know, they could trade for, you know, maybe it's Miami who trades for him and the Lakers get, like, most recent, like, literally as of this weekend, that was something that the Lakers were hoping to happen. Was that
Rob's waiting for the Giannis trade so that he can get in on the Tyler Hero aftermath? He's like, hell yeah. Another white combo guard. Let's go.
Did you see Darren Peterson called himself a combo guard today?
Well, I mean, he is, isn't he?
Well, no, but, like, he, like, specifically called himself a combo guard, and I laughed. I was like, oh, shit, that means that Rob is going to trade Luka for the number one overall pick and try to draft Darren Peterson.
He doesn't even want to see the medicals. He's just like, he's good. I like this guy.
Yeah, but, yeah.
The game is about a bucket.
That's where I kind of find myself looking back on this whole, like, Project 2026 or the Giannis plan or whatever, like, silly title that was associated with this thing. It's just like the people who are responsible for this, as all of the eggs were placed into the basket of succeeding in this specific summer, where they need to take a 53-win team that would lose key pieces and still improve despite losing key pieces for the sake of optionality. I just think it always felt like a doomed process. And now we arrive here at, you know, the final 16 hours of Giannis Antetokounmpo being a Milwaukee Buck. The reason I paused there is because Shams is reporting that Julius Randle is going to the Brooklyn Nets for Nick Claxton. Julius Randle and number 28 for Nick Claxton, who would go to the Bulls.
That's actually brutal for Julius to end up back in New York right after the Knicks won a title playing for the Nets.
Yeah, right. That's, for that team.
That's a bad break.
The Wolves will acquire. Let's see. So the Bulls get Claxton. The Wolves get Brooklyn's number 33 pick, so not even a first rounder, for Randle and number 28.